thank the Lord this morning for His love and His blessings to us. I've written on the board the message that the Lord has put on my heart, entitled The House of Sacrifices. I'd like to begin in the book of Leviticus this morning, and we're going to stay in the Old Testament for just a little bit to lay a foundation. Leviticus, will begin reading in chapter 2. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1. Said, and when any will offer a meat offering. Now, as you will recall, the book of Leviticus is really a book of instruction to the children of Israel, a lot that have to do with their worship to God. A lot of the sacrifices, a lot of detail about God's requirements for the children of Israel. So he was talking about the offerings that the children of Israel were to give. And as you all know, it was the tribe, the priests were from the tribe of Levi. And it was the priests that the children of Israel would bring their sacrifices to, and the priest would be the one that would offer them on the altar. And so now there is some instruction given from the Lord to how this was all to take place. And he said, and when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be a fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon, and he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof with all of the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial for it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offering of the Lord made by fire. Now, that after too much reading, especially in Leviticus, if you're not tuned in real well, it starts to kind of run together. But I want to summarize what he's saying here. Now, as you will recall, there were many different types of sacrifices made in the Old Testament. There was a sacrifice of sin. There was a sacrifice of thanksgiving. So there were all different types of sacrifices that were actively made to the Lord. And here he was giving instruction. He talked about when any would offer a meat offering. Now, usually when we think about offering sacrifices to God in the Old Testament, we think about the lamb or the goat or the doves being offered to the Lord as a sacrifice. We think that was a meat offering. But there were also other kinds of sacrifices that were given to the Lord. People would bring when they would harvest the corn, they would roast the green ears of corn. They would actually roast them and bring some of that as a sacrifice to the Lord. When they made their flour, they would bring a portion of the flour to the priest, and it was given as a sacrifice to the Lord. So this word here, when he says meat offering, that word meat is not the way that we usually use that word. The word meat here means food. When you bring a food offering to the Lord, so it wasn't necessarily flesh and blood. It was bloodless offerings. They would make cakes. They would, I told you about the roasted corn, they would bring oil. And what they would do is they would bring this as a sacrifice or offering to the Lord, and then the priest would take some of that for himself. And the instructions were very explicit on what the priest could take for himself and what he was actually put on the offering and burn to God. So here it said he's going to bring forth, he's going to pour the oil upon the fire and put frankincense therein. He's talked about bringing it to Aaron and his sons. And it said they're going to take his handful of the flour thereof in the oil. Most of the offerings that were brought to the Lord, they were burned on the altar. But when someone would bring flour, the priest would take a handful of the flour and put it on the altar. And then the priest would keep the rest of the flour. All of the oil was poured on the offering, and they would burn it to the Lord. But the priest lived off of the sacrifices that were brought from the people. That's how Aaron and his sons survived. They weren't out farming. They weren't out doing manual labor, but they were there laboring and working in the temple. And so we say, how are they supposed to survive? They survived off of sacrifice. They lived off of the flour. They were able to take a portion of the roasted corn. They were able to take a portion even of some of the meat. And it said of the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his son, and it is a thing most holy of the offering of the Lord made by fire. This was approved by God. This was not the priest stealing from the sacrifices of the Lord, but the Lord laid out a plan whereby the priest could live by the offerings that were made. Now, if you will turn with me over to the 7th chapter of Leviticus, in the 29th verse, Leviticus chapter 7, verse 29, he said, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, he that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offering. It was another type of offering. It was called a peace offering. And so the children of Israel would come and offer a peace offering to the Lord. It said, shall be, bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offering. His own hand shall bring the offering of the Lord made by fire. The fat of the breast it shall he bring, and the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord, and the Lord shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons. And the right shoulder, he's talking about the right shoulder of the animal, the right shoulder shall you give unto the priest for a heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offering. And he among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offering and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings and have given them unto Aaron on the priest, Aaron the priest and unto his sons by a statute forever from among the children of Israel. All right, so again, I understand when we begin reading this, if you're not following real carefully, it starts to blur together. So let's keep in mind what's happening. God is giving further instruction about the meat. He said when you bring the meat for a peace offering, he said, and he named it out, there's a portion of this meat that is given to Aaron. They would take the fat and they would burn it on the altar. But notice here he said you would take the breast part of the meat and Aaron and his sons would reserve that unto themselves, and that's what they had supper on. That's what they kept in the storehouse, was the meat that was left over from the sacrifices that were given to God. Now we say, well, what is a wave offering? Part of that meat, literally, was taken and waved in the air. It was a sign of sanctifying it to the Lord. They would take the meat and wave it in the air, and then they would offer it. That was a wave offering. Well, some of the meat was a heave offering. You wouldn't wave that kind of meat. You would take it and lift it up one time, and you heaved it up, and then you placed it on the altar. And it was their way of physically, in a very fleshly sense, sanctifying that to the Lord in honor to God, and then sacrificing it to the Lord. But from those offerings, the Lord was explicit, as we read here in the 7th chapter, he told them what part they could do. He said, for the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off of the sacrifice. In other words, this is not burned up. This is not consumed, but of the shoulder, I'm reserving that part for the priest. Okay? So understand this then. The well-being of the priest was tied specifically to the number of sacrifices that were put on the altar. So if the people were not diligent to come and offer sacrifices to the Lord, guess what that meant for the priest when it came supper time? There was nothing to eat. If the children of Israel weren't being diligent and faithful to come and offer the peace offering and offer the portions that the priest could reserve for themselves, it meant the storehouse of the priest was empty. It meant that if the children of Israel weren't doing their proper worship to the Lord, the priest would go hungry. But turn that around. What do you think the priests were doing when the children of Israel were just flocking in with sacrifices? There was more than enough for just supper. They had a storehouse, and they kept a house of sacrifices. That's what they had. The house of sacrifices referred to the place that all of the leftovers, the portion that was reserved for the priest, it was filled up. A house of sacrifice that have lots of breasts and lots of shoulders from these animals, there's lots to eat. And we could dry some of it, and we've got enough for next week or next month. But what a full storehouse demonstrated then was that the people were honoring God. But when the people turned their backs on God and they turned to idolatry, you would go look at the house, go look in the storehouse, go look in the pantry where the priests lived, and the pantries were empty. But if you went in the home of the priest and you looked in the pantry and said, look at all of this food. You've got sacks of flour. The people were worshiping God. It meant the people were offering sacrifices unto the Lord. But instead of going hungry then, when the children of Israel were not faithful to give their offerings to God or their sacrifices to the Lord, the priest would feast. In other words, it's been a good day. I'm talking very fleshly here. The people have brought their offerings to the Lord, and look at the pile of meat that we've got. We've got so many shoulders here, and look at all this good meat. We've got a lot of flour here, and the priest would have feast. They would have an abundance of food, and it would just be a time of feasting for them as well. So do you understand how the well-being of the priest was tied to the sacrifices? And you can read more in Leviticus if you want, but it's there. But their well-being was tied with the sacrifices of the people. And I know you may not know where I'm going yet, but we're going to get there. So they would have a feast. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Malachi in the 3rd chapter. And as you look, remember that's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 3, in a very familiar passage in the 8th verse. The question was asked, will a man rob God? And the Lord said, you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offering. In other words, the prophet came to the people and said, are you going to rob God? And they said, where have we robbed you? And he said, you robbed me in tithes and in offering. And he said, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. In other words, you have not been giving your sacrifices to the Lord. But let's read on. He said, bring all of the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. What is he talking about here? He said, bring in the meat, bring in the tithes and the offerings, that there could be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not pour open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Again, the measure of sacrifice was in the storehouse. This actual physical sacrifices were burned on the altar, but what was left for the priest was put in the storehouse. So he said, you've robbed me, my storehouse is empty. The priest's storehouse, their pantry, they're lacking. But he said, come that there could be meat in my house. Sacrifice and give that there could be meat. And so you could come and look in the priest's pantry, so to speak, and say, wow, the people have really been honoring God. So fill up my storehouse. So when I've written on the board a house of sacrifice, I would that you have a little vision and get some perspective now of the value of a full house. And I'm not talking about playing cards. But a full house. You've got a full house that there's lots of meat there, and it's an indication that the people are being obedient to God. The question is this morning, do you think God values that? God wants a full house, doesn't he? And I want us to understand the value of a house of sacrifice. Well, what's the value of a house of sacrifice today? Do we offer meat offerings? No, we don't. But when I think, and this is just, when I think about a home, that a home of sacrifice, what do you think about? I think about a home that prays. I think about a husband and wife who pray together. I think about a family that comes together in the evening and has a family altar, and they're making their sacrifices to the Lord. It's not the flower, and it's not the shoulder of the animal that was offered, but it is a sacrifice of love to the Lord. That, Lord, we're giving you some of our time, and we're coming together aside from the busyness of life, and we're coming together to worship you, Lord. And the Lord looks down, and I believe He finds great value in a house of sacrifice. That I can look in the storehouse, and I can see that there's some things laid up. I can see that there's prayers being prayed. I can see that someone has been reading the Word of God. There's been a sacrifice. Because you know how often we struggle with reading and praying. You know, I have not hardly found anybody that has never had struggled with reading and praying. And I've shared before the congregation, I've seen retired people that are not working, they're not going to school, they're not, and they're struggling finding time to read and pray. And I thought, how is that? You're retired, it's because it's a common struggle that everybody has. So the point is, if you think that, well, when I get done with school, it will be easier, or when I just am just working a job, it will be easier, when my children are raised, it'll be easier, or when I graduate, or when I get retired, or just know it's never easier. Because it is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to God that we have to set aside time and say, Lord, this is your time. And God values that. God values obedience this morning. What sacrifice will you give to me? Last Sunday was, I believe, yes, it was last Sunday, we talked about a few of those sacrifices, that we will give the sacrifice of praise, yes? That's a sacrifice. To actually physically open our mouth and give praise to God. That's a sacrifice that we give. And God values that. Sacrifice of obedience. When the Lord looks down, and I know we said a house of sacrifice. A house generally represents family, doesn't it? It's not just the four walls. House represents family. That there would be a home. That there would be a house. That the Lord can look down and say, these are people that are obeying me. These are people that are being obedient. These are people that are living like the Bible teaches them to live. People that do good for other people. You know that sacrifice? I know people, as we all do, people that live to themselves. And we call that selfishness, don't we? They won't hardly give someone the time of day. Just too busy. Can't even stop to kind of tell someone what time it is. Do you recognize there are other people, though, that they would give you, you know, the little phrase, the shirt off their back? In other words, anything I can do for you. They're sacrificial, and they give to people. If there's a need, let's do what we can to help them out. And sometimes we don't have to help someone, but if we have, what can be a benefit to someone else? Where is our faith this morning? Faith without works is dead. So we say we believe in God. Well, even the devils believe and tremble, do they not? James said the devils believe, but James said, show me. He said, I will show you my faith by my work. In other words, there's going to be sacrifice involved. If we really believe in God, we're going to be obedient. And I believe this is one of the reasons why when we read the story of the young rich ruler that came to Jesus. And Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, He said, go and sell all that you have. This was a good man. He was a man that had kept the commandments. But the Lord was looking for a house of sacrifice. He was looking for someone who was willing to give what he valued most for the benefit of Christ Jesus. And so he said, go and sell all that you have, because Jesus wanted that to be a house of sacrifice. Do you see how it's valued this morning? What kind of house do we have? What kind of home do we have? And this isn't just for the parents' children. Do you realize you are an integral part of the home? The Lord wants us to have a house of sacrifice. And as the home goes, we had a brother when we were in Shawnee that used to say, as goes the home, so goes the church. There's a lot of truth to that, because I believe if we think it through, is the Lord would come along and look in our cupboard. He'd look in the storehouse and he'd see, is there anything laid up for me? Just like there was some reserve for the priest, and they would feast on some of the sacrifice, the Lord comes along and says, is this a house that's been sacrificing? Let's look in the cupboard and see. Is this a house of prayer? Is this a house of sacrifice for other people? Or is it all about me? Is it all about what makes me feel good? Or is it about how does this affect someone else? And the Lord wants to come in and see a house of sacrifice. There are benefits to having a home of sacrifice. There are great benefits to living a sacrificial life, that the storehouse would be full. Will a man rob God? Folks, let's not rob God this morning. Let's be obedient in every area of life. From the attitudes we have, to the clothes we wear, to the places we go, to the things that we look at, to the things that we listen to, that all of our life would be sacrificed to God. That, Lord, I'm putting you first in my life. And that the Lord could come along and say, this is a house of sacrifice. And then the Lord could come by the way of the congregation and say, this is a house of sacrifice. I value it because I see what's going on. All right, that's the foundation this morning. I have another scripture I would like to read to you. In the book of Proverbs, and before we turn there, just as you examine what you've heard this morning, do you understand and get just a little glimpse of the value of the house of sacrifice? It's valuable. It's an indication of God, of the sacrifices that people brought to God, was a storehouse at the priest. How much was left? So turn with me then to Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs in the 17th chapter and the first verse. Better is a dry morsel and quiet therewith than a house full of sacrifice with God. Does that not bring home that scripture just a little bit more? I know it did to me as the Lord started talking to me. A house of sacrifice is a great value. House of just an indication of how much we have been giving to God is what was in the storehouse of the priest. But now we find the Lord through Solomon giving us a comparison. See, the word better is a compare word, compare something. And he said it would be better to not have a full house. You know, the Eve offering and the wave offering, you get the breath. And you get those bags of flour. You know, you give one handful to God and you get the rest. He said it would be better to just have a dry morsel and not have all of the residual blessings of the sacrifice. And it would be better just to maybe have a dry cracker and water, but to be at peace in your home than to have a house full of. But there we strive. I've been challenged by this. I've been challenged. Because when I think, what is valuable? What is the Lord place priority on? He wants that. He wants the flour. He wants the oil. He wants the priest to have a house full of sacrifices. But he was saying it would be better for the priest to go and say, there weren't any sacrifices offered today, but I've got a little cracker here, but I'm at peace in my spirit. And Aaron's sons looked at each other saying, well, let's sit down and eat our cracker together and worship God with quiet. Rather than to be feasting like the priest did when things were going good, when people were offering lots of sacrifices, and yet to sit down at the table and hear Aaron's priests line up around the table, quarreling, arguing, bickering, and the Lord saying, it would be better to just have a little dry cracker. Just a dry morsel and some water than to have the table loaded with all of these sacrifices that you've received and there be strife. Do you know this starts in our home? It would be better. And see, I'm not saying don't offer the sacrifice. You understand that? Because that was God's will. God's will was for the flour to be given. His will was for the meat to be offered. But so it is this morning. It is God's will for us to pray. It is God's will for us to read His Word. It is God's will for us to dress modestly. It is His will that we not love the world. It is His will that we live godly life, holy life. But here He's saying, I want you to remember that it is better to just have a dry morsel and be at peace in your spirit than to have all of these sacrifices. And yet, there's fun. Husbands and wives quarreling and not getting along. I had a man one time come and give me an offering. And I appreciate it in the sense that we could use it, but I wanted, so, and maybe I failed in not doing it. I wanted to tell the man, take this back and go give it. If he wasn't taking care of it. He needed things. I mean, I knew. We counseled with him. And if he wasn't taking care of it, he'd go home and buy boxes of Raymond noodles on sale. In the cupboards were full of Raymond noodles. He wouldn't let her do his job. Like, this is what? We're going to cut costs. Something wasn't right about that. And I struggled a little bit with even taking anything from him because it's like, dude, we have a house of sacrifice and on the surface, this is someone's sacrifice. But it was someone that wasn't good. And I know we all have seen people that on the surface maybe do a lot for others. And they give and they sacrifice. And we think, well, that sure is good. And it is good. But I want us to remember God values nothing. God values a quiet. God values you children and young people. God, with all of the truth that your parents have taught, and you hear here in Sunday school and in our meeting, do what you hear. But I want to remind you, God values you getting along with your brother. God values that quietness in the home. Where there's arguing and bickering, I want you to remember the house of sacrifice. And the Lord saying that a dry morsel is best. With quiet than a house full of sacrifices that we're going and doing this good deed and we're praying and we're sacrificing and we're doing for other people. Those things are good. Don't stop doing those things. But remember that quietness of spirit. Remember that getting along with mom and dad, getting along with your brothers and sisters, getting along with your husband and your wife is more important. I'm not saying the other's not important now, but the Lord values it. Amen? The Lord values it. And when we begin to place value on things, I would that Lord give us a vision that we can value when you're frustrated. And do we not all get frustrated? I mean, are there not things in life, and you know, sometimes the hardest place to have grace is in the home. The hardest place sometimes, you know, other people can do things and you find the grace of God, but sometimes the hardest place to find patience and the quiet, you know, a soft answer and having the love that you should, it's right within the four walls of our home. It's sometimes the hardest place. And the Lord gave me this burden. And again, I've been challenged that Lord, He values that quiet, in that peaceable habitation, in more than the house full of sacrifice. dry morsel. Don't have the meat and the vegetables and the dessert and all the good things. Just a little cracker. If you would picture in your mind a moment, where would you rather be? Sitting around the table with just a little bit of, crackers and water, but everybody loving each other and getting along and just glad to be together? Or the table loaded with the roast beef and the brisket and the, that all the vegetables and fresh homemade bread and all of the good things that we have when we all get together on holidays, that yet there'd be quarreling and bickering and not liking this one, this problem going on. Where would you rather be? How much better, though, to have the table loaded and have everybody getting along? Load up the table and everybody getting along and be at peace with one another. The Lord, God values a house full of sacrifices. But the Lord values the quietness of unity and the quietness of love. And I just want to challenge us this week. As you go home, remember what God values. When the sharp retort comes to your mind and about comes out of your mouth, remember what God values. Remember when your brother or sister, your husband or wife irritates you, does something, it's kind of like, remember that God values quietness. Remember that God values the unity and the love and the forgiveness more than He values the sacrifice. Give me a dry morsel then, Lord, but help me to have the peace of God. Lord, help me to have the grace to get along with those that may be difficult to get along with. Over in Isaiah 32, He said, the work of righteousness shall be peace. And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance. It's not because everything around is always going good, but it's the work of God in our life that enables that kind of quietness. That's why God values it. True quietness of spirit comes from the presence of God. So maybe there's a dry morsel. But Lord, we can be poor and be happy. It doesn't take having a house full of all the residual offerings. But Lord, I want Your presence in my life. And I want that effect to be righteousness and quietness. We read over in First, we won't take the time to read it right now. We're going to close shortly. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, remember it talks about how a godly woman should be dressed. And we read that and it's doctrinal and it's truth. But do you realize one of the reasons that was written? It was to show us of what God really vowed. He said, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament. See, it's not the outward ornament, but he was coming down to what God values. And he said, even the ornament of a meek and what? Which is in the sight of God of great price. Saints, do you see where God places value now? There's a house of sacrifice. And that is an indication of how someone has been given to the Lord. But God is saying, I value more than a house full of sacrifice. I value more a meek day. We all have different personalities. So that this is not talking about personality. This is talking about a meek and a quiet. You see, it doesn't mean that, oh, I've been talking too much, so now I need to be quiet so I have a quiet spirit. It's talking about our spirit. It's talking about the turmoil and the carnality and the anger and the frustration that comes out in inappropriate ways. God's saying, oh, we say, but modesty, the Bible teaches modesty. And we all say, yes, it does. But here he's saying, there's something more valuable than modesty. Is that right? He's saying, yes. A meek and a quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price. There's much more to be said. The scripture teaches, let nothing be done to strife. Strife is contention. So what does God value? Peace. Getting along. loving one another more than a house full of sacrifices. In closing, Ecclesiastes 4 says, he says, better is a handful with quietness than both hands full with prevail and vested. In other words, it's better to just have a little bit, just a handful that have quietness of spirit. Where does it start, folks? It starts in our husbands and wives, getting along, loving one another. And when frustrations or difficulties come, Lord, help me have a meek and quiet spirit. Help me to recognize there's great values in that. And do you know what meek and a quiet spirit can resolve? A lot of problems. It doesn't resolve everything. There's problems that have to be worked through. It takes time sometimes, but the Lord values the respect. A meek and a quiet spirit. Brothers and sisters, again, it starts at home. The Lord values the quietness. So it would be better just to have a handful of quietness than to have everything you wanted, both hands full, but to have strife and just be finished. So I'm very thankful for the invitation that Jesus gave to us. When he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, that wasn't just sin. But when we began to get frustrated, we begin to get worn out, and you know, the more worn out we get, the more impatient we can start getting. Just because I'm tired, but they're still great. And so Jesus said, when you're worn out, when you're tired and you're burdened down, he said, come to me and I will give you rest. And in the Greek, you know what that word rest means? So when you feel that frustration working, you can come to me and I'll give you quietness of spirit. And God takes great value on that part.